episode 3 of Missives from the Underground. I'm Dee Dee on Twitter. I go by Dust Daughter. And I'm joined by co-host Maria, who goes by @_Roxy_ on Twitter.
Hello.
And you'll also know her from Nerdgasm Nora Network. And we're going to talk about episode 3 of Underground Season 2, which was called Ache. Yeah. So what do you think of this episode?
It was brutal.
Oh, Lord. It was all caps, a lot. So much.
All different kinds of ache, you know, heartbreak and physical and depression. Just a lot of pain. But not in a way that feels like exploitative.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was definitely aching. I just felt so bad for everybody, especially Rosie and Christine.
Yeah, there were definitely times when tears came to my eyes.
I was like, fix it, Jesus, fix it. Stop. Let these people live.
So much.
It's like stuff kept coming and coming and coming. Anyway.
Yes. It was relentless.
Yeah. So we're going to get into this recap and then, see if we're, still dry-eyed by the end.
So part of this recap is mine, and part of it will be from EU's website, Entertainment Weekly. And Latoya Ferguson does a really excellent recap over there. She really goes through each scene, which is very helpful. But anyway, to start off the episode, we have another scene with Daniel, and he's reading the Ain't I a Woman speech by Sojourner Truth to his daughter, and she's very hungry for the words. When he pauses, she's like, keep going! And she asks him about the speech and what it means, and he says that the speech means that she's strong, not just in her body, but also in her mind, too.
Ah! So good!
It was so good. Because I wasn't sure what he was
going to
say.
He was struggling to figure out exactly how to interpret that for her.
I think he did a good job. And I hope he gets to teach his daughter how to read, too. I just hope. Because she clearly, wants to know things. She wants to be educated and read these things and understand, what it is her father's looking at. She has that hunger.
Mm-hmm.
I hope, but I prepare for the worst. So.
You can't get too attached to too many characters on this show, unfortunately.
So then we see Ernestine rice plantation, right, in South Carolina, or on the islands off of South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And she's seeing the spirit of Sam, and he foreshadows her storyline when he sees her. He says to her, I thought you said Master Tom would be the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes back to work late, and the guy she's shacked up with, Hicks, is there, and the overseer sees her coming back. He's like, where are you? Throws her to the ground, busts her lip open. Hicks runs over to save her, covering for her, whatever. But he's also mad at her, and for, like, I guess bringing this attention to herself, or, for him having to go there and defend her from the overseer or whatever. And he wants to beat her. But he looks around and he sees everybody else staring at them, and he doesn't do it. So he knows what he's doing is wrong. And he knows he can't do it in front of everybody. He has to do it in private.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Trash.
Total trash.
Hold on. I'm hearing some echo.
Oh.
So I'm trying to... I don't know what's going on, because it was fine before.
Yeah, I haven't done anything different.
I don't
hear anything.
Okay, well, maybe it'll work out. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so we go back to the redheaded bounty hunter. And she's talking about how someone always used turkey feathers to guard against the buckshot, but it wouldn't do much against the bullet. She said it was a 12 gauge. So really, she was aiming not to kill Rosalie, but to injure her because she wants her alive.
Right, and to lead her to Harriet.
Exactly. And Donahue, the reporter or writer who's going to be writing a book about Patty, the redheaded bounty hunter, spits out the stereotype that black women have this supernatural ability not to feel pain. Which is something that still haunts us to this day, especially the medical profession, where black women aren't given pain medication they need, or their pain isn't taken seriously. It's still thought that somehow we don't feel as much pain as white people.
Or back when the father of gynecology was experimenting on female slaves with no anesthesia.
Mm-hmm. No anesthesia. Cutting them up, all kinds of stuff.
Oh my God. Okay.
But I think it's either stuff you didn't learn in history class or stuff your mom never told you, have an episode on that. That you should definitely check out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Rosalie is running through the swamp. She's bleeding out, and she's trying to stop the wound from bleeding. So she wants to cauterize it, and so she gets some gunpowder, I think it is, and some matches. She strikes a match, but the match goes out before she can get to the gunpowder. Now she has some other matches, but she doesn't use them for some reason. So instead, she decides what she's going to do is use the spark from the gun to light the gunpowder on her shoulder.
And close the wound, I think.
Yeah.
That's what she's trying to do.
Yeah. Because she's already pulled out the bullet, by the way. Which was, God. It seemed like she had her whole hand in her chest.
Oh, my God. Fix it, Jesus.
So... she fires the gun, and it causes her to experience some amount of deafness over the rest of the episode. She can't really hear anything that's not right in front of her. And after she, fires the gun, she is kind of knocked out, basically. Passed out from pain, probably, because I can't imagine what that would be like. And she remembers back to a time with her mother when they were making up this bed in the big house, and her mother tells her, "Hey, let's jump on the bed." And they're having a little fun. Her mother tells her, this life is going to be really painful. It's a lot of misery. But to take hold of moments like these and try to remember them when you're going through hard times. So this is exactly what Rosalie is doing now, remembering this happy time with her mother as she's pregnant herself and going through this misery in the swamp.
And it's funny that we also see Ernestine doing that too later in the episode. So
that's true.
It's kind of like this episode's really just about the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And as she's remembering this time with her mother. Her mom uses the name Patty Cannon, the name of the bounty hunter, as kind of a boogeyman.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how famous Patty is and how long she's been doing it for. And as she says this name, it kind of brings Rose out of her daze and she realizes what's really happening to her. After that,
a lot.
So we go back to the rice plantation, and I always forget this dude's name that Rose, that Ernestine is shacked up with.
Hicks.
I'm like, is it Hicks? Is it Hunch? Is it Hinch? Is it Hitch? Like, can you tell I don't like him?
Yeah, he's terrible.
So Hicks is, the girl that Hicks had been sleeping with and got her pregnant is being shamed by her elders. And they're telling her that God took the baby because of her sin. They're demanding the name of the father. Like, there's a bunch of them around her, you know, asking her questions, telling her what a horrible thing she did. And table tapper, who I think is her father? Or some kind of relation to her, I'm not sure. Tells her that they're doing this for her sake, basically. And that they want her to tell them the name of the man who did this to her so that they can go after them, but she doesn't say anything. And does Ernestine see them?
Why was she saving him from, you know, the reprisal of the community?
Right.
Forced her to drink that stuff
that she didn't want to do. We were wondering why didn't she name him?
You know, when she knows that he's been with Ernestine this whole time.
Yeah.
Why are you protecting him? It's hopefully he'll be exposed. Yeah, because he's a horrible. I mean, he's in a horrible situation, but geez, come on. So we also, after that, we see Ernestine reminiscing about being pregnant with Sam, and you know, they're going over what they should name the baby, and her husband suggests they name him Solomon after King David's firstborn, and Ernestine gets kind of quiet in the sense that she had a child before this baby, but had been sold away somewhere else in the slave trade. And then we get back to Rosalie in the woods for just a moment. She's still trying to figure out where to run to and clutching her belly. Because I can't, I mean, you're already in the swamp and you're pregnant. It's just a lot. You know, with this hole in your shoulder and you can't really hear that well. Mm-hmm. All right. And Table Tapper goes to speak to Ernestine because he sees that she's been, you know, depressed.
So much.
And they talk about the tree. They have this tree that has all these blue bottles tied to it. And apparently these blue bottles keep evil spirits from following you into the afterlife.
Ooh, Lord.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And Ernestine's not believing any of it. She says, you know, we've been away from Africa for so long. Now your spirits don't matter here. And she also talks about how the white man's Bible is for the white man. So she doesn't believe in too much of anything right now. And she's also thinking about when she had to clean her dead husband's body.
Yeah, like they trap him in the bottles.
To death. And their son Sam, who's I don't know, maybe 5 or 6, so no more than 8, sees her doing this, and he comes up to her and asks her, "Will you do this for me someday?"
And then
she just breaks. I don't know how she didn't just completely bawl all the way out, but she cries. It's so heartbreaking.
You know, when you remember from last season that she had,
and yet drapetomania is supposed to be a thing,
because he took a whipping so James wouldn't, and Tom Macon almost made her cut off his
I think
foot.
It's at this point that, like, Ernestine decides that she's going to try and get in a big
house. Inhumane
to try and have some kind of control over what happens to her children so they don't end up just like him.
Oh, God.
And knowing that, and then knowing what happens to Sam, is just heartbreaking all over again.
Well, shit, if you were on the other side of it too, you would want to be free too.
And so we get back, and we see more Rosalie. She's crossed over this lake or pond to get to the other side of the woods. And she gets out, and she sees one leech on her. And she freaks out a little bit. And she sees another, and she pulls up her top, and they are all over her. Just all over her, and she just freaks the fuck out. And you know what? I don't blame her. So we're just no. I was watching this at Starbucks, so oh my goodness. So just tallying, just keeping a tally on the misery that Rosalie is going through right now.
But you know, she's already running away, so people are looking
for her. She's been connected to Harriet. Yeah. So
I was watching
that
at work.
Her.
So
she's heavily pregnant. Which
pro
is
tip:
own
don't
thing.
Watch this at
she's
work.
She's in the swamp right now. She's got a hole in her shoulder that she cauterized. She can't really hear too well, and she's covered in leeches. We're just gonna keep that running tab open. So we leave her and we go back to Patty. Who's at the lake or pond or wherever where Rosalie crossed, and she tells Jack, one of her one of the guys working for her, to strip and swim the pond so they don't lose Rosalie's trail, which I don't really understand. But I guess she wants them right in the place so they don't lose track of where he saw the trail or whatever. And he doesn't want to do it because it's cold and full of leeches. Like, I don't blame you. So he's like, well, why don't you have, you know, the other dude do it? And she's like, well, because I'm going to sleep with him later, and I don't want him to have a cold. She pulls out a gun and tells him to strip naked and go across the pond. So he does. I was like, damn. Well, I guess sleeping with the boss can have benefits sometimes. And of course, Donahue was really excited about this, so he writes this all down. And then, are you okay? Don't make it? They are.
That's really...
So Ernestine, we go back to Ernestine. She's getting ready for this performance for the master. And she's, you know, getting oiled up and doing her hair and all this kind of stuff. And she's decided that she's going to... try the same thing she tried to
all of
make
them are trash. I just call them the garbage pail kids. They're terrible.
She's supposed to sing while Hitch plays his fiddle. So she's getting ready and she sees Sam's ghost again. He kind of asks her is talking to her about what she's deciding to do, and then he antagonizes her for being with Master Macon back on their plantation. She's saying she was doing the best that she thought she could. And he said, you control nothing. You protect nothing. You fatten me up for the slaughter. You know, and he's talking about how he did everything she told him to do. And he says, I was master's most exceptional nigger. And all it did was give me the length of a rope. And it's like, God damn. My heart.
Joe Castillo. Yeah. He was laying it on her. He was like, so you said if I just stayed in line,
dude,
I'd be safe.
And I was like, even further, you know, be this way.
It's like how, you know, today we tell kids, you know, just do everything the cop tells you and you won't get shot.
See you as human, basically, if you act more like they do. And respectability politics are never going to save you. Never. Right. The same way you'll see a lot of people talk about, why don't you guys be more like Martin Luther King or do peaceful protests? You shot and killed Martin Luther King anyway, so. not a lot of motivation.
Nope. Didn't save them then.
So won't save us now. Sam is, you know, basically laying all these truths out on the table. And you can see Ernestine decides that this time will be different. So we get back to Rosalie, who is sick, distressed, and she's going in and out of consciousness. And Patty is hot on her trail. So she hears a gunshot. And she starts to run. And she hides under a bunch of foliage. And she can see Jack's feet, like, right in front of her. Which is like, whew, God. And I was like, Rosalie, you breathing too loud. Cover your mouth. Breathing too loud. So she sees Jack's feet. She sees him go a different direction. So she gets out to run. But he tackles her. And they're in this brutal fight. And she gets the gun away from him. And they're just going back and forth. And it's like, I'm wondering if Jack remembered that Patty said to bring her back alive, or is he real mad he had to swim that pond? And so he, at one point, she's on her back, and he raises his foot up like he's going to stomp the shit out of her belly. And she rolls onto her back. And so he gets her in the back, and they're fighting, and she bites his ear off, like the whole ear. Knock down, drag out, for my life fight. And eventually she stabs him in the face. And while she's trying to recover a little bit of her energy, she remembers chopping wood with Harriet.
God.
And they're thinking about their mothers and their families and how they have both been lied to about, you know, possibly getting their freedom, and how the white people use that as a carrot and a stick kind of thing to make them work harder. And she talks about how, you know, when it comes to her mother, her mother had decided to make the best of life inside the pain, which is definitely what Ernestine tried to do. Because I don't think that Ernestine necessarily saw a way out too much, but Ernestine was trying to try to make it a little better for her kids. So we go back to, I'm sorry, go ahead. So we go back to Ernestine, who's in the big house now, and Hitch is playing his fiddle. And Master Matt, I guess who's the son of the owner of the plantation, has failed out of school. And his friends are like, don't worry about it. You're rich. You're not going to have to fight in the war or anything. And, and he's like, this shouldn't be a party, you know, so he doesn't want to drink. So his Confederate friend, Errol, is like, well, I'm going to have to drink with the niggas now. Right. So he gives Hitch a drink and he says, attaboy. And I'm like, dude, actor, calm down. Don't have to actually put that much emphasis on it. You're just going to play naturally racist. We're going to hear you anyway. The mic is going to pick it up. Okay. Maybe that was it. Right. How many times are you going to shoot this scene? So Matt tells them a story about his mother, about how she had been this hardworking woman from the Appalachian Mountains and married his father. And she didn't like at first having servants.
He was so excited.
And she rather did for herself, but eventually she got used to it. And started bossing everybody around. And anyway. Then he also talks about how when he was in New York that he learned that slavery is bondage that not only affects black people, but also makes white people into more brutish versions of themselves. Like the idea of when people get money and they just become more of who they are. Yeah.
That would explain something, or is it turning them into something different than they already were, or is it pulling something out of them?
You're told that you are better than these people, You own these people, and you literally have power over everything they can possibly do.
Yeah. It's like when you have this, you're afforded all this luxury and leisure because of a really inhumane system. And because
at first his mom was all against it, and then she got used to it.
And it kind of made me think about, you know, white women's complicitness in white supremacy. And then they bring in,
I'm sorry? Oh, they bring in Ernestine to sing.
Yeah, because...
But she is not going to go with her original plan of trying to...
He said she hated being waited on hand and foot.
She goes way
left.
Her
hand started to like it, and then her foot did too.
And is singing about how this white man fell in love with this black woman and how she hung his bony ass. And Sam's ghost is there the whole time. He's like, he's eating it up.
Go ahead.
And and the other slaves around the parlor are loving it too. Because, I mean, come on. This is, you know, how could they not? And she just, I mean, she went all off. She's loud and singing, and like, she has no fucks to give. She's done.
Yeah. He's clapping and laughing.
I think she did, because Hitch was playing with her, playing, you know, the tune at first, and then he just kind of stops, like, I don't know where you're going with this. I don't know how to follow this. And I get a little, she was knocking stuff over. I get a little scared for her, because I'm like, what are these white boys going to do? But they are so shocked.
Yeah, she's...
They don't do anything.
Did she freestyle this, or is this an actual song? I think she was knocking.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm surprised.
Okay.
Maybe they think almost, she must be, you know, sick, it was like,
you know.
It was almost like earlier.
It's interesting
with the overseer,
turnabout, I
how
guess.
She was almost daring.
You know, earlier when she was talking with Sam's ghost about,
you know, to
you know,
do
how
something.
He did everything to be the most exceptional nigga.
So she was definitely daring,
you know,
this time.
Under her tutelage.
Wow.
And she's just like, you know what, you're right. Fuck
Somebody's
it.
Somebody's looking out for her.
I'm just gonna do whatever I want. So she does, and she goes back to the shack with a Hitch. I'm gonna say Hitch. His name is Hicks. See, look, I don't like him. Okay. Let's call him all kinds of names. Like, you know, that Tammy Lernerbrock or whatever her name is. Anyway. Seriously. So she goes back with Hicks, and, you know, he's, of course, mad at her for messing everything up.
Fuck him.
And she's yelling at him that if he wants to be the master's bitch, he can do that, but she's done with that and he can leave her out of it. And they start fighting. And he punches her in the face and her nose starts bleeding. And he's like really surprised at her fighting him back, because she's probably never done that before. And you know, she's just fighting him back and fighting him off her. And eventually she just gives up. She's like, forget it, I'm done with it. So she's just laying there, and Hicks is like, you know, I love you, why do you make me hurt you, that kind of bullshit. And that's what it is that makes him stop, because he's like, well, I can't do it if
but
you want to
there
do it,
was
basically.
That point where she was like, do it. She
and
was
they
like
have
taunting
sex
him
his blood is
to
coming
do
out
something
of her nose, and it's just
because she's like, she's trying to, you heard that phrase, suicide by cop?
You know, I think that's just him trying to make himself feel better.
Boyfriend or something.
Because he's talking about he loves her or whatever.
Oh, God. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's all around her mouth too, and I'm like, oh.
She's out of control. She's spiraling. She, you know, she doesn't know which way is up or down. She just wants out.
But if you, yeah. He, but you know, she actually, you know, kind of undoes her under things, so you know he can get at her, and I'm like, girl, what is you doing, Ernestine?
Say more.
I think a part of her doesn't know how to separate sex from abuse, because they've always been linked for her, except maybe with her husband. You know that part in Toni Morrison's Beloved where she mentions that there was only one man that Sethi had put her arms around, or it was either Sethi or Baby Suggs had put her arms around. So there was only one man that they had loved, but all the others that had, you know, touched her were basically violating her. And I think her husband was the only one that Ernestine had ever put her arms around, only one that she had ever loved.
But we're
because all the others were abusing her.
After that, we've seen, you know, Rosalie through her flashbacks, but now we go back with the young Ernestine. And she's talking to Angela Bassett.
And abuse is too.
I had to blink a couple times. I was like, is that Angela Bassett?
For real.
Oh man.
Okay.
Oh Lord.
And so at this point, Angela, I'm just going to pretend Bassett. That it was okay. Angela Bassett as Marie Laveau. Right, and then it go.
Angela fucking Bassett fell and, through. And then we're going to
the show
cameo.
She did. What
was it? When that's when you know you got the juice.
Yeah. this is just how I'm gonna blend that together here. I love it. Oh, yes! She's so amazing. I really do.
We
hope
went back in time.
She comes back because I just love her so much. So, Ernestine's talking.
American Horror Angela. Story.
You said they didn't even give her name here, so, but anyway.
She did, yeah.
And so,
okay.
Oh. Right.
She's so good.
So Ernestine knew that, you know, men were noticing her. Particularly the white men in the big house, and she didn't really like that.
I think they call her root woman.
She didn't want to get pregnant.
I've heard. So she's asking, like, on Misha Green's Twitter, they called her root woman.
Make it so that she could never be pregnant.
Like somebody that performs roots.
And she refuses. And she basically tells her, you know, you're not going to be able to control or protect anything, but you've got your looks, and that'll get you what you want. And she tells her the only way, you know, to not have a child is to cut her insides out. She's a young girl.
But Ernestine says, you know, all these people, 14. I see the way they look at me, they, you know, do whatever just to take a piece of me. And she mentions the master, the overseer.
Let me go back to Rosalie,
other,
who
slaves on
running
the feet in the
all
fields.
Day and all night.
Like,
and she's resting.
She's not
by
safe
the river
anywhere.
When a snake bites her.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. The swamp is conspiring against Rosalie, I'm convinced, like, at this point.
Early teens.
Because it's every horror you could possibly imagine. All she needs is, like, a bunch of bees. To, like, I don't. And I'm afraid that might happen. Like, Right. So she gets this leech.
The leech to suck out the venom. The gunshot.
On her leg. And then I kind of missed how she got buried alive.
No. No. Next episode.
She somehow ends up buried alive.
Well, they buried Patty Cannon and them. Yeah. Buried Jack.
Maybe she, I don't know how it happened, but she somehow is underground. She, after they bury Jack, she gets out of the hole and eats the leech.
She hid underground.
Because as you said, when was the last time she ate?
Yeah. Like, maybe she hid underground just to hide it kind of in plain sight or whatever. I don't know. Yeah, I missed that too.
Ugh, right. And so, back to Ernestine. She's on the beach holding a very large rock. And she's walking towards the ocean in this white dress. And she turns around and she sees the ghost of Sam,
Lord,
her husband, and Pearly May.
Like, what more? What else is going to happen?
They're all kind of encouraging her to go through with it. So she takes the rock and she's walking into the water. And as she's drowning, Rosalie is also just kind of, she's out of any kind of energy. And it's kind of going back and forth between them. They're both losing at this point. And Rosalie's just kind of leaning against a tree when she notices a horse and a carriage. And she gets in and the horse takes her off somewhere because she hasn't slept either. So she's asleep as the horse is taking her wherever the horse is taking her. I just hope she doesn't get seen. Hopefully this is her bit of providence after this trial of misery. And it's been at least 2 days. I mean, after she got the dudes onto the river, that was night, right? She had been having a tough time before them because they were a pain in the ass themselves. Right. And it's been this whole day and now it's another night. So, 2 nights at least.
Yeah, where is it taking her?
And then we switch back to Ernestine, who's drowning in the ocean. But then we see everyone who's on the plantation has a rope. And they're leading it out to try and get to her. And they're pulling her back from the ocean. And that was, I don't know, that touched me. Yeah. And she probably, why would they do that? Why would they care? And that's probably, what she would think too. But we'll see, how she comes back from this. Mm-hmm. Will she be angry with them? Was this a drowning of her old life and a birthing of a new life for her?
It takes a village.
I'm eager to see what's going to go on with her there. I mean, it would make sense with her story, where how she was going, that she tries this. But no, they ain't going to kill her off. Not yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For one moment, I was like, they really out here about to kill off a Mirabelle?
But she doesn't know where Rosalie is.
They really
Rosalie
gonna do that? Where
she is. Rosalie's thinking she's still in Macon. She's hundreds of miles away from there.
Nah, she's too good.
So for the last little scene, we do catch up with Patty
and
her gang.
And then
Rosalie is Donahue is pointing out
busting
to her,
her ass to find you.
Actually, yeah. I forgot a part. Rosalie, I think it was right before she gets bitten by the snake, or I can't remember if it was before or after, but Donahue sees her. And he lets her go.
He actually gives her his canteen of water. And you can see her, you know, she sees him and she's like, Lord, really? I went through all of this just to get caught by this.
Right. Is he just doing this to prolong his story?
White man or whatever?
Or does he really care?
You see,
what does he care about?
Tears starting to streak through the dirt that's caked on her face and stuff. And I was like, oh, Rosalie. And then he just gives her his canteen and then walks away. And I'm like, what is he playing at? Possibly. I don't think he cares. Because if he cared, he would have done more. But I think he wants to keep the story going.
And well, Patty feels...
And
he's kind of antagonistic to Patty, but
he wants. Yeah, I think. Yeah,
I'm not really sure where that's coming from. If he's just trying to get her to,
then it wouldn't be much of a story.
Think differently or do differently,
so
or
he wants to keep
if
it
it's just
going.
She's a woman, I can't.
Just
tell.
In case Patty,
or I don't really have to choose, to be honest.
Can catch her.
Yeah,
but I don't think he really believes in her. He doesn't believe in her. He stays shading the fuck out of her.
Yeah.
I think it's because... Yeah.
It's really true.
That's how trash these folks are. But
it's really true, but Patty is,
I think it's because she's a woman. It's also because she comes
she's already
from
lost a man to her.
A lower class than him.
So Patty decides that she needs
and
some
I
help.
Think
she needs
that
someone
he that
who wants...
He's better
Rosalie
than her
more than she
because
does
of those things.
So she takes everyone
you
out.
Know, he's
to,
been shading her since they
it looks
first
like
met.
A rock quarry where people who are but. Enchained are breaking up rocks, basically. And we see August Pullman, who was the overseer for the Macon Plantation, or one of them. Was he an overseer? No, he was a slave catcher. He tried to rape Rosalie. And so she's going to pull him out of there and get him on the trail for her. Yes.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Did he? What did he say?
Also known as Stabler from SVU.
Y'all get mad about him not standing for the flag, but what about Rapelsberger out here?
And I'm waiting for him to get killed off, too, because he tweeted some shit about Colin Kaepernick that I ain't like, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see you.
Talking to, you know, he was getting mad about him not standing for the flag and all that stuff. And I'm like, you do realize what show you're on, right?
Oh,
thank you. Thank you.
Do you have any theories about what you think may happen?
NFL is trash, but yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm worried that horse and buggy that Rosalie is in is headed to that quarry.
That would be almost too close to them all.
Well, I'm hoping I'm wrong about that. I'm hoping it's not going to well, if it were going to Cato's, at least she'd see Noah. So, yeah. But, I wanted to say something about one of the themes in this episode about strength and the way that this story kind of undermines that myth of the Black superwoman, or the strong Black woman, or whatever you want to call it. Like, there's several mentions of strength throughout the episode, and you know, from Daniel talking about Sojourner's speech to Donahue talking about that terrible stereotype to, you know, we see Rosalie performing all these feats of strength. We see Harriet trying to teach her to be strong physically, and Ernestine trying to teach Rosalie to be strong mentally and emotionally to get through the hard times. But then we also see how strength fails Ernestine at the end. Because she needs more than just to be strong, or, you know, she's been so strong for so long and she just can't take any more. And yeah, she thought she had a hold of stuff. She thought she had control over something. She thought she was the one calling the shots with Macon. And, you know, she's realizing that everything the Root woman said is true. You know, in the end, her body isn't her own. She can't protect herself. She can't protect anybody else. That's a frightening feeling. And I can understand how that would make somebody just lose all hope. I mean, this episode just was so much. It was just, it just said so much about how, you know, people depend on and expect us as Black women to be so strong, and we're not allowed to be vulnerable, or you know, receive care and all that kind of stuff. And it's just wow. Shout out to Misha Green.
The line from Sam, you know,
script.
I was Master's most exceptional nigger, and all he got me was only to the rope.
The screenplay is credited to Misha Green and Joel Pekowski, but I really feel like this was more Misha. I don't see how Joe could write some of this stuff. But, Yeah. But I think that scene with the Root woman is what stuck with me the most. She said, "Your body ain't your own." Like we're still recovering from that today. Like, I mean, there's so, look, think about all these missing Black girls, Black and brown girls in D.C. Like, they're just being taken, possibly for sex trafficking. Like, they don't have any more bodily autonomy than these girls and women.
And mostly alone, right? She's not really acting against anyone, and it's extremely physical.
Like, this is scary. I don't know. This just, it just took my mind a lot of places. And shout out to Journey Smollett Bell for doing all this when she was like 7 or 8 months pregnant herself. Oh. Yes. Like, I mean, she had stunt doubles and stuff like that, but still, she's doing a lot of that stuff herself. I'm going through it. Herself.
I don't like it.
And she said her son, whose name is Hunter, was kicking at her belly, at the dirt on her belly.
Really?
When she was doing
those
that,
are real leeches?
Come up from underground scene. Like, oh wow, like her son really went through with her. And yes, like, stop it, mom, chill. She said she couldn't, they couldn't get the leeches to stick on her belly. No, it wasn't. No, it was just, I don't know, some plastic or something like that. Yeah, but they couldn't get him to stick for the longest time because her belly was so tight or whatever. So, but yeah, she did that. And they're if anybody deserves an Emmy, it's her and Amira for these performances in this episode. This is, yeah. I mean, I love this show, but I think this is now my favorite show for the stuff that they managed to evoke and the discussions that I hope that people will have because of this episode. They are. They really are. They really are. That's so true. Yeah, I hope that people will say more than, oh, these were just strong black women. I hope people will try to interrogate that a little more, like, you know, think about the toll of all that strength.
It's like a breaking point.
And, you know, just why do they have to be, they shouldn't have to be that strong all the time, but, those were some just inhumane times, inhumane treatment too. Sorry. Yeah, she damn near broke. I mean, she was floating at the bottom of the ocean for a minute. She broke. So, yeah, it's just a matter of time. We'll see whether she's able to put herself together or if the community will help her put herself together.
But I really
want
to find out what's going on with Kato. So, I mean, it looks like in the preview to the next episode, he's going to figure more prominently.
And maybe we'll see next week if my theory about Daniel is right.
You light-skinned devil.
Because we didn't see Kato or Noah this episode. And I didn't miss them. Because these women were doing it. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to put Noah through some hazing. Yeah. I don't know. He's the one that you hate to love, Kato is. So, what about you? Is there anything else you wanted to say about this episode? And, again, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at DustDaughter. Maria is at _Roxy. Bye. _ on Twitter. You can also email blackgirlsglee@gmail.com. Just put MFTU or Mrs. from the Underground in the subject line so we know what show you're talking about. And until next time, Take care. Bye. All right, I hope this worked. Okay, so I'm gonna hit stop recording and see it.